use smart talk all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good evening and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk day. It is Monday, the 14th of March, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It is Monday. That means it's another episode of the Bahamas. And we're talking what's been in the news, what is in the news, and what is important for us to talk about. And there are so many things. I'm also interested in hearing what you think we need to talk about today. So remember, we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. If you've got to move away from your radio, you can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas, channel 969 or Flow channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right here on the Guardian Radio app. You can also text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can also call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Remember, we also have a WhatsApp group. On the Clock is on WhatsApp, and you can add On the Clock on 1-242-428-0719, or join the group by clicking on the invite link on the On the Clock Facebook page. Also, from last week's show, the gentleman who wanted to get in contact with Mr. Eric Sawyer, please text me at or message me or call me, but not right now, on 1-242-428-0719, or call the show or text me again, and I will make it worth your while. It is cold and windy out there. I would just like to thank whoever was praying for the cold, one last cold front before the end of winter. I'd like to thank you because some people was trying to get me to go to a pool party yesterday, and I did not know how to tell them. I did not want to go in the water. That icy, icy breeze is all I needed. So whoever was praying for the last cold front of the year, I say thank you. There's plenty in the news. I want to say happy birthday to anybody who is celebrating a birthday this week or this weekend. I got a special belated happy birthday to my good, the only uncle I got left, Stanley Mitchell. Happy birthday. I'm not going to tell the people what the age is. We're not encouraging none of that today. But I can tell them after I play, and then I can tell them. But happy birthday, uncle and to all my family members who I ain't seen in a long time, it's always good to see you. Now, let me tell you what I have on my list of issues today. Air traffic controllers demonstrate. There was an article in last week's Tribune, and the story was carried repeatedly on the Our News and Guardian news, radio news cycles. Air traffic controllers demonstrate. The Ministry of Tourism, Minister of Tourism, Investments, and Aviation says that BATCU, that's the Bahamas Air Traffic Controller Union, demonstrated for quote-unquote administrative issues, and that the matter, quote-unquote, is in hand, and that the issues would be resolved in due time. I'd really like to know what those issues are, especially since the minister said it's not an understaffing issue. And I got some more about that. I did some research. I never knew so much is going on in air traffic control. Then, of course, there are issues that have already been addressed by Morning Blend, but I think we could talk about some more. The escalation in gun violence, 5 suspected homicides this weekend, 5 this weekend. Then mother and victim of IPV, that's interpersonal partner violence, found dead in hotel. And then there's another interesting issue, the Adelaide land use battle. That story is also in today's Guardian. There's some questions I want to ask. I don't know if we ask all the questions that need to be asked yet about that. Like, I have a question. What happened to Liberated African Way? I haven't seen that street sign in a long time. And that's neither here nor there, because street signs have a life of their own. They just get up in the middle of the night and walk away. Nobody ever knows where they are or how to replace them, right? But that's one of the questions. What happened to Liberated African Way, and what is Beach Drive, right? That's some questions. Then we'll talk about strategies, dealing with rising gas prices and food prices. Because believe it or not, people are going to need help. I know it seems sort of simple. Like, do we really need to teach people how to save money? Just don't spend it. But it's not as simple as that. And there's a story in today's paper. Man, Nassau Guardian, man who killed motorcyclist fined $10,000. Or 18 months in prison for killing a person. Wow. In the course of dangerous driving. The story says a man who killed a motorcyclist after running a traffic light was on Friday fined $10,000. Kenrick White, who was facing a charge of killing in the course of dangerous driving, changed his plea when he appeared before Magistrate Samuel McKinney for the continuation of his trial. Around 9:55 p.m. on July 19th, 2021, White was traveling south on Jerome Avenue in a gray Suzuki Swift when he failed to stop at the red light at the junction of Jerome Avenue and Chesapeake Avenue. As a result, White collided into a motorcycle driven by 17-year-old. Wow, 17. Steve Jr. Joseph, who was traveling east on Chesapeake Avenue. His light was on green. Joseph died in the hospital the following day. Police didn't have any eyewitnesses. However, the incident was captured by CCTV. White's lawyer said that White was remorseful about the incident. According to her, White assisted the deceased's family with funeral expenses, and he is still in contact with his relatives. McKinney fined White $10,000 or 18 months in prison. Now, I wanted to read that because That's part of my sensitization campaign. I think at this point in time, an idea given to me by a friend, borrowing somebody's idea, that we are at the point now where we need to take wrecked vehicles into high schools as a testament so young people can get a sense without actually having to have been involved in an accident of the trauma that takes place. Now, this is important. I think this story is important just for a couple of reasons. Just this year, we had the resolution of the case surrounding the death of, I think, Brent Johnson and wife. But the family who were in an accident, who were hit by a driver, Christmas, I think, 2020. And what was brought up in that issue was that the law describing or defining what the penalty is has not been changed for decades. And that while at the time that the law was written, $10,000 would have amounted to a whole bunch of money commensurate or equal to or able to compensate for the loss of a life. But I don't understand at any point in time when $10,000 could do that. But surely the fine needs to be increased. And I'm almost certain we have politicians and MPs and MP wannabes on record saying what they would do if they had the opportunity to address this issue. And yet here we are in 2022, and the fine for killing a whole human in the course of dangerous driving is still only $10,000. Now, y'all think this is not a big deal, but were you on the road this weekend? Did you drive on the streets of New Providence this weekend? Now, we know that the police were busy. We're not glad that we're busy, but we understand that their energies would have been focused on trying to get an understanding of what was happening this weekend and trying to get a grasp on it. But I have some advice for the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and I'm saying this respectfully, men and women, ladies and gentlemen, officers of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, I say this with respect. My old neighbor, Lorraine Lightborn, used to tell me this all the time. And she's a very easygoing woman, except when it came to care of animals. Then she's hardline. But she always say, if we take care of the pennies, the pounds will take care of themselves. If we take care of the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. And I want to suggest to the police force that y'all conduct some research. Go to the International Association of Chiefs of Police and ask them to give you models and statistics from developing nations where they moderate their overall crime issue through a focus on traffic and the movement of people on the public roads, and how the principle of taking care of the pennies will take care of the pounds, how that principle plays out. Because I tell you this, every day, Bahamians on the road are showing their colleagues, their peers, their fellow citizens, their brothers, their sisters, their community members, that they have no regard for the right of way, for the word called stop. As simple as that, for the word stop. Like I mentioned last week, we witnessed a driving school, somebody giving a lesson. turn left on red improperly. And when we called the school, the person in the car, the invigilator, the teacher in the car, pick up the phone and start rowing us. And then I had to explain to her that you were actively teaching this young child to do the wrong thing. And that child being taught by, I'm not going to say rogue because you look licensed, but a misinformed instructor. They can have an attitude when somebody tries to tell them different. Even when the police try to tell them different. But I tell you what, if we take care of the pennies, the dollars will begin to take care of themselves. And I could be honest, I don't think a Bahamian or anybody in the country wants to hear another politician talk about a pay raise or needing more money in the community to get things done. We don't want to hear it until y'all address and fix issues like this. And there are more, and we're going to get to them today. Text here, morning, Aaron. I want you to blast this nasty person who threw garbage out of their car on the Frank Watson Highway this morning, which flew into my windshield. License plate number AW62. I ain't going to read the rest. It was a Honda. People need to do better and be better. You could have killed those people on the highway this morning. Oh, the text, I get into that right now. Producer, let's get to the caller, the first caller. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Oh, God, they just stuck in a way. So you need justice, order, and law in this, order in this country, Aaron.
Absolutely.
Aaron, you know, you must bring nasty people to an open shame. Because let me show you, that person would throw the thing out of the car and went into somebody else's car. Mm-hmm. That could have gotten in that person's eye, and that person could have gotten into an accident and killed somebody or killed themselves. Call the license. Bring them to an open shame. It's wrong.
Don't worry. I call the first four, the letters and the digits. Thank you, Raymond.
You must say all.
I hear you.
My other point is, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to people getting killed on the streets by cars and stuff like that,
yeah.
The thing is, government need to fix that situation because in no way in the world a person's life should cost $10,000, whether then or now.
Absolutely brilliant.
My last point is, right? These bunch of guns that are in the this country, in 1966 and stuff like that, places 67, the UBP were doing a better job with governing crime in this country. And I think the police and those that are responsible should take a page out of their book and do better in this country. Because right now, these people are nasty when it comes to crime in this country.
Thank you, Brayman.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brayman. I see we're talking about taking care of the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves. I don't like to talk about the port. I don't even like to go on the port, but we're going to talk about it. Where are the guns coming from? How are they getting into the country? Who is manning the ports? Plural ports, not one specific port, right? How are we ensuring that we could perform at the highest standard with the best results? What are the cultures that operate in the spaces that are responsible for these things? But I can be honest, I could lament every day about the experiences I have entering the port and leaving the port, the lack of oversight, the lack of control, the lack of adherence to the basic traffic controls on your way into the port. So it's no surprise to me that it appears as if our ports are completely unmanned and guns are getting in anywhere and every, because ain't nobody making guns in the Bahamas. Ain't not a soul. making any proper gun that could shoot anybody in the Bahamas. But when you see the madness that is allowed to take place around the ports, in this town, in the country generally, then you could understand why there's such difficulty in interdicting or preventing these guns from getting in the country. I swear, if you take care of the pennies, the pounds will take care of themselves. I was leaving the port one time. A vehicle we witnessed didn't stop at the stop sign behind us. So I just turned and looked at the vehicle, like how you could be on the whole port and not stop at the stop sign. The driver saw me looking behind, back, right? They heard us blow our horn. Despite the sign requiring drivers to stay in their vehicle, the guy got out of his vehicle and walked to our car and threatened us. And gone up to the booth to ask the woman what we saying to them. There's no way we serious about stopping guns or manning the ports. I ain't even get to the story about overtime, special assignments. I ain't even get to that yet. Got a text there that says, "Morning, Aaron. Social services could use some ideas. One, build a complex for abused, distressed women and men. Have it guarded by defense force and police. Two, instead of wasting money on motels, $700 a week, etc., they could have purchased a ticket to the family island, set her up in a government office, even if it is custodial work. Red flag the abuser. If he came to the island, everyone gonna know, and island people will raggy them." Well, listen, you know when we were in fear of losing Bahama? Remember that? I put out this idea, there's tons of things we could do with Bahama if the people don't want to continue the project with us. Well, anybody who's going to start a shelter or a housing program, everybody needs to have their clothes clean. So what you're going to do is you're going to attach a cleaning service, right, like a laundry service to your shelter or to your housing complex or your project to provide an income-generating mechanism for the people who are in the shelters to support them and the wake of the shelter. That's a great idea, text. And remember, we need shelters for women with young boys, not children, not men. And we need shelters for young men and young women who are legally allowed to control their lives, but not in every single way. Another text here that says, "Good show. We need government to do more to help black people in the country in a real way with land ownership at an extremely low cost and economic opportunities to curb the mountain of social ills." Listen, let's get back to taking care of the pennies. We'll take care of the pounds. We create a state of cognitive dissonance. That's where you make people believe two things that are like completely opposed to each other, right? And that's where a lot of us are stuck in. Let me give you the example. First of all, we tell our children that you cannot be man or woman until you pay in your own mortgage or your own rent, till you have your own key to turn. That's what we tell them. We tell them two women can't live in the same house. Don't make no sense. Not ordained by God. Not that type of woman living in the same house, mother and daughter. That's what we say. Two sisters can't live in the same house. In a country and an economy where the vast majority of people will never own their own house, can't afford to pay rent by themselves. You setting up a schizophrenic state. You setting up a state of dissonance. The thing just don't make sense. I can't be a woman until I have my own house or mortgage, and I can't be a man until I get my own key to turn. but how will I afford it ever? And we don't make low-cost housing. Hundreds of years in the hurricane zone and ain't nobody working on building code for small homes that are that also are hurricane resilient and resistant. To help people in a real, real way. Because this ain't helping nobody except the people who figuring out how to get rich on the backs of other Bahamians. That's it. Now the text, I so agree with you this morning. Something has to be done with the way people are driving in Nassau. There are some intersections where I'm terrified to pull off when the traffic light turns green. Listen, it is madness. Here's another note. Somebody pointed out on social media this weekend that they've noticed a number of the traffic light sensor projects have been completed where they are installing traffic sensors at the light. But the person indicated that the sensor is installed beyond the stop sign where the people are supposed to stop. So please, Ministry of Works, look out for a call for me so you could direct me to the people who are responsible for traffic lights so they could explain to me and others, the general public, how the traffic lights work, because people already don't care about the word stop or the stop signs. And I'm not snitching, but their Royal Bahamas Police Force, if you ever needed to collect some revenue, I don't know, to pay for things to protect yourself, you know, like that, you could just go to any intersection in the Bahamas any day and start giving out tickets. Another text, like I said before, give this country back to the UBP or Britain because Negroes can't manage anything properly. Dear texter, it's far more complicated than that. And although Elizabeth is my cousin, I still ain't ready to give it back to her. Hi, there is no money pennies, so we have to take care of the nickels. See, we didn't even take care of the pennies, and they're gone now. Another text, Aaron, six men got locked up in Bikini Bottom Airport for a number of guns disguised in... Woo! Text, I ain't reading all of that out loud because it may jeopardize the case. I don't know. Leave that right there. But that's good to know. There needs to be more female police officers dealing with domestic violence calls and cases. There needs to be a massive comprehensive retaining program for all police officers and retraining program for all police officers in dealing with domestic violence calls and situations. Listen, absolutely. That's a whole nother show. We want to be respectful. We want to be respectful to the members of the force. We want to be respectful to those that are potential victims. We want to be respectful to all involved. And when I say this, the extent to which this work needs to be done in the RBPF and the RBDF, I can't even tell you. But they need it. And this is not to suggest that men don't know, men are rough, men ain't doing the job. Every day we witness police officers practice empathy, sensitivity, are engaging. Just this weekend, we watched some officers have to deal with a woman, and you could see them. You could see them using their training to not hurt the woman while they had to restrain her. Now the text says, you know, the controls over the ports are slack. I saw a message from someone going around that when guns come into the country, say by boats, yachts visiting us, and they show the license to have the guns when they are in port, who checks that all licensed guns bought in the country are the same when the visitors leave the country? Just asking. Are there protocols in place to check when the people are leaving the country that it's the same gun that they brought in and that they were licensed for? Oh, boy. Producer, let's go to this call, and then we call us after that. I got to take a break, and then we come back. We get to the rest of the calls and the text. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I'm actually calling about the Liberated African Way issue.
Yeah, man. Let's go.
So I was sitting president of an association a community association of Adelaide,
mm-hmm.
when we inquired about what happened to that road sign,
mm-hmm.
if you pulled it up on Google Maps, Google Maps will tell you that the entire stretch is Liberate African Way.
Right.
And when we came back into the village after Hurricane Matthew, you know, the storm surge pushed down all of the signs.
Right.
And I was walking towards the beach with the cabinet minister. He's the cabinet minister now, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because he lives on Liberate African Way. All of the signs were down. When we came back a few weeks later and they started putting the signs back up, supposedly, we noticed that the western side of the road is now Beach Drive, which is weird to me because each of those streets had historical significant names. Morris Street, the first corner, which is now Palm Beach Street, Israel Street, Taylor Street, and then, of course, Liberate African Way. But they never gave me a clear explanation on why the name was changed to Beach Drive.
Well, they're going to need to. We're going to have to demand that. Adelaide is what, the oldest settlement in New Providence?
Second
oldest.
Jamaica would be
the oldest. It has to be one of the most valuable heritage sites on the planet. How you just...
Yeah.
Anyway, but I don't want to involve you in my politics. Thank you for clearing it up for us and letting us, the public, know that this is another question that needs to be answered. And although we don't... See, and this is this balance, right? Because I don't live in Adelaide, but I'm very concerned about this issue for various reasons. And I have family in Adelaide, and I could tell you, I know I had to have eaten about 7 pounds of sand off of Adelaide Beach as a child. So there's significant value to me. But how do we have these conversations and honor each other and our location, right, in the space? But this is a big question that needs to be answered. How has parts of Liberated African Way become Beach Drive?
And that's something that we've been asking about for years. That and also the first corner, how could it be moved from Morris Street to Palm Beach Avenue? Morris Street is named after Elijah Morris, arguably one of the greatest liberators in Bohemian history, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these are the questions that we've literally been asking about for years.
Listen, take this number,
428-0719.
And let's continue this conversation.
Okay.
Absolutely. We're going to continue this. There's so many elements that we need to touch on, but most importantly, we need to ensure that people feel a sense of ownership where they live. And they can't feel that if they're not allowed or enabled to take part in the decision-making about their community.
Again, if you need help.
Thank you very much, producer. Let's go to a break. Caller, I hope you could hang on until we're back from the break. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Please stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We will be right back.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance. Peace of mind.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
In Radio 96.9 FM, you're On the Clock with Erin Green. We got a bunch of texts. Callers are coming to you in a moment. Text says, many persons in our society have chosen the wrong path in life, and they have forgotten God and become disrespectful to parents. However, some are from dysfunctional homes or society misfits. Hence, they become victims of violence. What are we going to do as a country from infancy to adulthood? Example, church, government, and people. From the mayor of Grand Bahama. Thank you very much, mayor of Grand Bahama. Let's get to the phone line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, you still there? I am sorry I missed you, caller. Let's go to the second call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Erin, good morning.
Good morning. How you do?
Doing great, my sister. Always a pleasure to be a part of your program.
Thank you, thank you.
Erin, wanted to just go to four quick points here for consideration. Two of them have to do with the Ministry of Works.
Mm-hmm.
The question to them is, how is it possible for them to put speed bumps on a main throwaway through any community? I look at Christie Avenue right now. They put speed bumps all through Christie Avenue, and that is considered a main artery to get the residents out of that area onto the actual main arteries.
Mm-hmm.
Whose idea was it to put speed bumps on a main highway? That doesn't make any sense. Secondly, pertaining to that, they put the speed bumps down, and typically in the past they used to put the white triangles on the bumps so you could identify where the speed bumps are.
Mm-hmm.
People are coming through those areas with no warning, and they're flying high in the air after hitting those speed bumps.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do a much better job with that. My last point to the Ministry of Works. People are cutting trenches into these roads, and they are not immediately after they finish their repairs coming behind to fix these roads. Right now, people are complaining about the damages to their vehicles, which is especially shock absorbers and fenders and stuff, and there's no immediate help to get these repairs rectified by the relevant persons. These are things that the constituents would like to have addressed right away. Moving on to the cameras at these junctions,
mm-hmm.
We have seen many persons speeding through red lights, especially in these little vehicles. I would have thought that the police force would have used these cameras in interdicting these persons in terms of when they run red lights. They would automatically send out a ticket to these persons. I think that would also help to deter some of these persons after thinking that they're getting away with the stuff. Tickets are being issued to them for which they have to pay. The video evidence is there. Use it against them in court if
mm-hmm.
contested. That is something, too, that we can use. My third point here very quickly. But Dwight had a very interesting show this morning with Candy Gibson, Pastor...
Carlos Reed.
Right, Carlos Reed and so on and so forth. And I wanted to call into that show just to give my little take on it, but I'll try to do it very quickly here.
Yeah,
I think with all of these agencies, Candy, Carlos, the Simpson Pan Home and stuff, I think it's about time that we realize that crime isn't going anywhere fast, regardless, in any country or whatever. I think what we have to do now to protect a lot of these victims is have these persons come together as a collective. Let the government, seeing that we have all of this acreage of land, create a center where these persons can be protected if they feel that their lives are in danger. Also set up counseling centers in one strategic spot, and let's get this ball rolling. Right now, as it stands, too many agencies are scattered all over the place. Yes, keep them as satellites if you have to, but we must come up
with a comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm. Where we could put all these people, all these professionals in one place, and let's come up with a comprehensive plan to help quell a lot of these persons whose lives are in danger, whose families are in danger, and especially the children who are in danger. We must come up with a better solution. Thank
Absolutely.
You, Aaron, for allowing me the opportunity with this call, and God bless you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Some great points made. You see that the speed bump thing? It's the residents who want the speed bumps. It's the residents who want the speed bumps. But I tell you what, if the residents talk to their own friends and family members and people who come in to visit them, they could probably moderate a lot of that behavior without the speed bumps. The next thing is, it's like there's 85 different standard speed bumps in the country. Why isn't there one standard speed bump erected? Why are there so many different types? And surely the speed bump is not to cause you to go at 3 miles an hour. It's to cause you to stay below the speed limit or at it, not to go above it, and not to slow down to reverse. I mean, you got to go so slow that you're in reverse, right? The next thing is that road works thing. Let me tell you something. Water and sewage came through my neighborhood about 7 years ago and did 6 years ago and did a project. And when they were done, I realized that nobody came and collected the asphalt that was removed from the ground at the beginning of the project. That asphalt is now permanently fixed to the verge in my neighborhood. And when I spoke to the team that was sealing the road after the project, you know what they told me? Miss, we ain't get contracted to move no asphalt. We get contracted to put the asphalt on the ground. And the team that pull up the asphalt, they didn't get contracted to remove the asphalt. They just get contracted to open up the road. And that asphalt still sitting in my neighborhood, permanent now, is turned to rock. Plus, Ministry of Works, where are your detour signs? Where are your road work signs? Where are these signs? Where are these things that as professionals you all should have in the road? Where are the cones to protect your workers? Why aren't you ensuring that your subcontractors have the equipment that is required to do the job by inspecting the sites while they wake in? I'd like to say good morning to that private company who, when I called the owner and told them, I see your boy in the road in slippers waking, the next time I saw them, he was the worker, was in proper shoes, and the boss was on site watching the job. Also, on the CCTV thing, Rev Analytics from Cable Bahamas, their Ministry of Works, their Ministry of National Security, you could work with them because they've already conducted a CCTV pilot program in the Bahamas. So we know the parts already there. Let's get to the caller producer. Good morning, caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
How you do?
I am great, and good morning to those who... Well, I didn't say good morning because I called Dwight Show, but
yeah.
I hope everyone has something to eat this morning. Ms. Green, everyone always talking about we need to change certain government departments of restructuring different situations in the government department. But, Ms. Green, okay, if you go to a fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think the fire truck should carry water?
Yeah.
Okay, so why go to a fire and a fire truck and you carry in fire to fight the fire? I say that to say this. Until we as Bahamians, Ms. Green,
mm-hmm.
can be honest. See, that's a problem why so many government and private sectors in this country, like how it is. Miami, the things that they have in place, it could work, you know. But it can work. It cannot work when you have dishonest people. Ms. Green, I don't care what my government change in implementing or this and that. You have to have honest people who are running it. Because look at the trend. For many, many, many years in this country, we have a lot of good things that are on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, Ms. Green, is that the people, the mentality of some of my Bahamian people who can't keep their hands to themselves.
Yeah.
They get greedy and complacent in these positions, and they feel they own these positions and they can do what they want to do. And then they bring the system down. And then when the government comes to power or change, then they say, oh, it's the same system. There's ain't nothing wrong with the system. You know, it's something wrong with some of the people. Because guess what? You cannot blame something on the lights of on the road. Right? That's only the light. You got to blame the people who fix the light.
Or don't fix it.
Or don't fix the light.
Yeah.
You understand me? So it's so simple, you know. And I when I hear people them talk about, oh, the governments need to do. The only thing the government need to do is that when they put persons in these critical positions to run government agencies to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if people have a problem with me saying people got to be honest to run these places, then if they don't be honest, then we can continue having this cycle.
Of course.
Or we can continue kicking the can down the road.
But look here, do it.
Or this and that.
Look here, do it. I got to go. But look here, that didn't even make sense how they could even say that to you. You know what I'm saying? Like how they could even get upset at you for saying that or for acknowledging that we have to say it in 2022. These are the types of cognitive dissonance that I'm talking about, right? Where we are creating these situations where we're trying to force our children to believe two separate things. Let's get to that last caller, producer. Good morning, caller. I'll be coming right now, caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Oh, I miss you, caller. I am so sorry. I got a couple more texts before we end the show. A text says, I had the exact same thought over the weekend. People are going through red lights and scooting into oncoming traffic on left with impunity. Instead of a crime plan, the commissioner needs to come out with a detailed plan on how he's going to get control of traffic. They basically spitting in the police faces at this point. The police need to get control of one thing. Traffic is a good start. People need to see controls working somewhere. Right, and this is the low-hanging branch. And this is the space culturally where Bahamians will better understand the authority and the intrusion, right? Bahamians are upset with some police, and there's some distrust. They don't want police coming in their yard. They don't want police coming in their community. And so we can understand. We're not endorsing sanctioning. We understand. But the public road, that's the space we all share. And while I didn't have to come in your yard, you could tell me, well, you wouldn't have cut your foot if you ain't come in my yard. I didn't have to come in your yard. But we on the public road together. Thank you, Texter. Another text says, I hear that caller on Christie Avenue in Stapleton. However, it doesn't seem he live on that main artery with children in homes on main artery. All right, so that caller... One of the concerns that the residents have is for children in the area, and that's why the speed bumps are there. Text says, raise traffic fines that end in death. Give difference to families. Well, I think there's supposed to be a compensatory mechanism because that's the whole point. You're compensating for the loss of life and the loss of finance, economics, money, support that individual would have given their dependents. Or their soon-to-be dependents, which may have been parents. Last text, the call is correct. Many people are not doing their job or supervisors are not paying attention. Is it that they are only interested in getting paid with no quality work being done? Well, let's just say this. We know in 2022, the vast majority of people are in crisis and are overwhelmed by their own lives, let alone the situations around them. And so... We moderate our critique, understanding that the vast majority of us are under pressure. But that doesn't include politicians. That don't include them. Also, just before we go, I didn't get a chance to do it. Pick up today's Guardian, Monday, March the 14th. Pick up the education section and look at the 21 students to contest for National Spelling Bee, including the return of Roy Seligman and a whole bunch of really, really happy-looking children. Good morning, Bahamas. Have a great day and stay tuned for Guardian Radio AM. They're up next.